Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Pastor Caesar LaFleur.
Thank you for making Illinois Family Spotlight a part of your day, and I'm excited to have a wonderful guest joining me here today, Pastor Courtney Lewis of the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago on the south side in the Woodlawn area. He's a dear friend of Illinois Family Institute. He's a dear brother in Christ. Many of you all might have heard of him in his bravery back during the COVID shutdowns when he stood up against Mayor Lori Lightfoot and refused to allow the city to intimidate him and stop them from worshiping. And so we're excited to meet him and to know him. We've had a chance to work with him over the recent years in some great projects. We're going to talk about his school, Cornerstone Baptist Academy, which we are proud to be a part of support system for them. He is also the 2022 Voices of Truth Award winner from Illinois Family Institute. He is a strong man of God, a powerful voice in this time we're living in, and we're excited to have him. Pastor Courtney Lewis, say hello to the people.
Well, it's good to be here today. Thank you, Pastor LaFleur. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your support for our efforts at Cornerstone Baptist Academy.
Absolutely. And man, thank you all so much for what you do. I became aware of you when I took over here as the state director for public school exit. We reached out to you and we met you, heard the wonderful story about you starting a school. I thought it was a powerful story about how you came about to start a school at your church.
COVID was a very strange time for us. And living and ministering in the city of Chicago, which I believe has the fourth largest public school
system
in the country, and understanding that it has failed our youth, and understanding the wokeism and the godless philosophy that is being taught to the students, and understanding that not just in Chicago, but that people nationwide were exiting the public schools.
Yes.
To the tune of about 1 million people over the past 10 years. We felt that the time was right for us to help people exit the public school, to also transition our church children into a Christian school, to make that resource available for parents. We had no money, we had no facilities, we had no staff. And in the course of 3 months after we decided to start the school, we watched the Lord bring in all of those resources to allow us to open our doors. And so this is our fifth year, Cornerstone Baptist Academy. It was not an easy thing to do. It was very hard because of not having the things that I mentioned, money, the resources, curriculum, the infrastructure, building-wise. But knowing that God was leading us for this endeavor and trusting him to provide everything along the steps of the way, and he's done that.
Yeah, absolutely. And your story has been such an encouragement. And I've used that story when I talk to other pastors in other churches about if God says do it, even though you don't see a way, that if you're willing and trust in him, God can bring those things to pass. I remember you telling me that God spoke to you and told you and your wife this is what you need to do, your congregation, how are we going to do that? But in 3 months' time, God had brought all those things, put it in place in order for you to be able to get that open. And you started with how many students?
Started with 14 students first year.
And how many are you at now?
16 students.
Okay, 16 students. I remember you told me the story about a parent who came to see you. I think she had two students that were still in the public school, and she wanted to bring them there, and you went and helped her to withdraw her students, and then you walked them back to your school.
Yes.
And you shared the experience like you felt like Moses, you know, leading them out of Egypt and into the promised land.
Yes.
And I use that imagery a lot when I try to encourage pastors. Listen, God needs us in this fashion because our children are in slavery in these government schools. These government schools are set up not to educate, not to inspire, but to indoctrinate, to oppress. Our children are being held captive behind that. And there has to be an answer to that. And I think the body of Christ is ideally set up to do that because we're committed to the whole concept of discipleship. More than education, our children need to be discipled. They need to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's our number one priority is to do that. We have a biblical mandate to do that. I'm a strong proponent of that. And I hope every pastor who's listening to us will get that vision in their heart that there's no greater opportunity to make disciples than by making disciples of our children. And so I applaud what you're doing doing and what others are doing. You've inspired me. We're opening up a school in our church, Liberty Faith Academy. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting out with a micro school and leading up to that. So we appreciate all those people who would answer that. We go around and tell people you need to get your children out, but there need to be a place for them to go.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. And I think that there was a mindset of what can we do among conservative mm-hmm. evangelical Christians? What can we do to straighten out the public school?
Right.
What can we do to help this failed system be successful? But ignoring the fact that it was never intended to be successful.
That's right.
It was always intended to indoctrinate and to pull our children away from Judeo-Christian values.
Absolutely.
Teaching them the seven pillars of Islam, vending machines with condoms. How do you get inside of that system and refurbish something that was a failure to begin with?
Absolutely.
And was intended to be a failure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of exiting the schools should have been more of an emphasis years ago.
Yeah, that's our only message.
Yes.
Is that there's no reform. I always tell people the school system isn't broken. It's working just as it was designed to work.
Yes.
By the people who set it up. Mm-hmm. And it was designed to do that. It was designed to indoctrinate our children, to turn them away from the faith. In fact, those individuals that were spreading Marxism and socialism, that was their strategy of how to do that. Mm-hmm. In order to be able to do it, we have to infiltrate the school system and reach the children.
Yeah.
There was one socialist who said, if you allow me to teach your children for 4 years, I'll place a seed in him that can never be removed.
Mm.
And we see that's what's happened. Generation after generation, our children are getting further and further away from the truth of God's word, deeper and deeper into ignorance and immoral behavior. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, where's all this coming from? They're learning it in their schools.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
seeing the patterns in their schools.
Yeah. And now our cities like Chicago are becoming very concerned because in the last 10 years, we've lost 70,000 students from the public school system. And I say, praise the Lord for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a city that's very concerned because those checks won't follow.
That's right.
When those students aren't there.
Right.
There's been a little bit of an uptick in enrollment due to the migrant situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand what the intention is with that is to pad the public school system with students to keep the checks flowing.
To keep the checks flowing, right.
And so when it becomes about money instead of about the child and their character and their mind being developed in the right way. We see a game being played in Illinois and in Chicago where it's dollars over our children.
Absolutely.
And that's disturbing.
It absolutely is.
Exiting has to be the answer.
That has to be the number one thing, getting our kids out of the government school system. Listen, we appreciate that. You're happy to have helped over a while. Good Soul, Good Seed has given scholarships to some of your students there.
Yes.
And Illinois Family has helped you in the past. And so
you
appreciate what you're doing there. And so keep up the good work. And so how can people who might be interested in bringing their children to your program, let us know what are some of the requirements.
We ask that people who are interested in our school attend church. And if it's not our church, that it would be another church that is doctrinally sound according to the Word of God. And so there is a path forward even if someone is not a member of our church. But most of our children are members. Their parents are members of our church. It is mainly a closed enrollment rather than just an open enrollment that is by design. But visiting our website, taking a look at the Academy page there, cornerstonebaptistchicago.com, there's an Academy page, setting up an appointment to come and see our school, and all of that would be a step forward if someone were interested.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank Illinois Family Institute. I want to thank Good Seed. I want to thank what your organization has done for us over the years. And just to know that there is a debt of gratitude that we don't think we'll ever be able to repay through the encouragement, through the resources, your help has been invaluable and we appreciate it.
The blessing is when we see children, you know, like your beautiful daughter, you know, we see them, then we know that they're in a safe place where they're going to be discipled and developed. So that's our reward there, just saving souls for the kingdom of God. One of the ladies that we gave a scholarship at your school, I remember the letter she wrote, and I shared it with the board when she said that she accepted Jesus during Vacation Bible School, and she didn't want to go back into that school system. She wanted to live for the Lord, and she wanted to get out of those influences. I read that letter, and I started crying. And then I read it to my board, and they started crying, because that's what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, it's about our precious children, rescuing them, saving them for the Lord. We had a program that we called Save Our Children for Jesus Christ. We got to reach out and save our children. So we appreciate what you're doing there. We're going to talk about some other things right after the break, but I want to talk about Charlie Kirk and the aftermath of what happened with him. And so I'm interested in hear some of your perspectives on Charlie, also the whole situation at National Guard and other things that's going on in our city. So we're with Pastor Courtney Lewis of Cornerstone Baptist Church, and we're going to be right back after this break.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
Thank you for making Illinois Family Spotlight a part of your day. We're with Pastor Courtney Lewis of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Chicago on the south side in the Woodlawn area. Pastor Lewis, I want to talk about Charlie Kirk and the tragic assassination on September 10th when this young, powerful voice for Jesus Christ was snuffed out of the world. And not only the tragedy of that, but I don't know if you, like me, experienced another tragedy after he died, when you saw all of the people, the way they responded to Charlie Kirk and all of the negative things we heard about him.
Yes.
But then looking beyond that, also the wonderful things that happened, that it seemed to have sparked a revival in a certain sense. So what are your thoughts on Charlie, Turning Point, and what they've accomplished? We work with Turning Point Education. Mm-hmm. I was just with Charlie at his conference down in Tampa a couple of months ago.
Pastor, I remember telling you that a friend of mine worked with Charlie for 10 years and was very much acquainted with him, and that there was the possibility of maybe getting him to come and speak here
yes.
in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We were actually working on that, and of course, just devastated by what happened and really learning how bold he was for the faith. One of the first things we did after he was assassinated is we took our young people from our school and from our church and any adults that wanted to come, and we went to the campus of the University of Chicago and we preached the gospel in the open air with great boldness,
yes.
with great liberty, and our children were able to not only hear of what Charlie Kirk was and what he did, but they were able to put boots on the ground right after that and follow in the desire to not just stand, but stand for Christ. This goes right into the public school exit. It goes right into our vision to get kids grounded in truth, because Charlie was very effective at reaching them at the college age.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important. I would never want to diminish that. But our goal is to get them before they get to college.
Absolutely, right. Yeah.
And before they're stained and soiled, perhaps morally, mentally, and spiritually, and have to be reclaimed at that point. If we can reach them while they're young.
You would need to, because
yes.
researchers said by the time they're 9 years old, they are pretty much what they're in the direction of becoming.
Yeah.
You know, they've already established their thought processes and things like that. So getting them young makes it easier instead of having to try to undo all of the brainwashing.
Our public school system is set up right now, and it's so morally debauched. 10% of young people in the Chicago public school system will be sexually violated in some way at school. And you just think about it. Would you send your kid to a restaurant if there were a 10% chance that they were going to be sexually violated? Would you send your kid to a park if there were a 10% chance? You would not.
You would not, absolutely.
People send them to school.
You know, I gave an illustration when I was doing abstinence presentations back then, and the research said the condoms were like 89% effective in preventing HIV. And so I asked the people, I said, if I had a table with 100 glasses of your favorite drink and you were thirsty, and I told you, you can drink as many as you want. However, one or two of them will kill you, and we don't know which ones it are.
Right.
Are you going to drink from this table?
Absolutely
not. Absolutely not. And so why would you send your children into a system where on top of everything else, on top of them not being educated and not advancing, then they can be sexually abused?
Yeah.
You know, they can be oppressed and all those other things. So why would you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, but I certainly agree. I believe that the whole thing surrounding Charlie Kirk put some steel in the backs of our young people and made them want to be bold.
Absolutely.
And I welcome that.
I understood that there was like 32,000 applications requests for Turning Point chapters on the college campuses right after he died. And so now they told me, I don't know if you heard about it, but they said it was in the stadium where they had his funeral in Arizona, that they had 60,000 young people there praying and seeking revival. On the other side of that, what was meant for evil, God always makes it turn out for good.
Absolutely.
You know, all things work together for good. And even in his death, I told somebody that he's going to be more effective in death than he even was in life.
Yeah.
Because more and more people are going to become emboldened. His message is louder now. Thank God for people like him.
Yeah. I hope it also emboldens churches, that churches will take a step up and look at the Charlie Kirk situation and say, if a parachurch organization can be effective at spreading the gospel, then what of the church?
It's a wake-up call that should be for us. Mm-hmm. Our commission is simply to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We'd have to ask ourselves, how successful are we at making disciples of Jesus Christ? How deep are they? Even the ones that go to church. Yeah. How committed to the faith are they really? That was another thing that the aftermath after Charlie revealed, the divergence in the church, the different attitudes. You know, say, so how can we worship the same God and come up with so many different understandings and so many different viewpoints?
Yeah.
And so this should be a wake-up call to the body of Christ and to the real church.
Yeah, and I think it also put a burden in the hearts of youth to have an answer. Charlie had an answer.
Absolutely.
It wasn't just a set of beliefs that he had been spoon-fed.
Absolutely.
And the parrot answer. He had answers. They were logical answers, and they resonated. And I think it put a desire in some of our young people at Cornerstone Baptist Academy to not just believe, but to know why they believe what they believe.
Absolutely.
And to be able to articulate that in an effective way.
Well, one of the things we're going to do at Good Soil, Good Seed next year is we lost our executive director, Tom Burrows, died earlier this year. One of the founding members of Public School Exit for the Illinois Family, and also helped us establish Good Soil, Good Seed. He died. We're given a scholarship in his name, endowing a scholarship for next year. $3,000 per student that goes to a Turning Point 5C school. And so that would be one of our ways of honoring Charlie Kirk and the work that they did there. And so
there
we're excited to be able to do that. Other things are happening in our city. It's like it's on fire. And one of the things that we talked about, you and I went to a meeting where we met with other pastors and kind of talked about where are we standing on this whole issue of the National Guard being called in, and do we welcome them, or, you know, do we stand against them? Share some of your thoughts about what we discussed that day about the National Guard. Are the National Guard needed, and is that something that we should embrace?
Yes, I do think that they're needed. As you pointed out so succinctly and convictingly, that revival needs to be on the utmost, that needs to be the utmost thought in our hearts and minds as believers, is seeking God's face and repentance, getting right with him and seeking his help in our city. At the same time, I look at Romans chapter 13 and I see that there is a sword and that there's a purpose for that sword, and that sword is for the lawless. It should not be used in vain. It should be used to avenge the evildoers. That's part of God's plan. And so I look at the city of Chicago. My next door neighbor, there was an attempted carjacking. She sent me the video. My next door neighbor, they pulled alongside of her. They pulled out the gun, and she pulled off. They shot through the back of her windshield and destroyed her cell phone, but missed her head. And so this is right where we are, boots on the ground. And it's something for people maybe in the suburbs or in the more rural areas to look at our city and to not understand. But when you talk to people, not politicians,
right,
but real people on the ground,
right,
they see that Chicago has the need. And so I support it. I welcome it. I think that it is what our city needs at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your counsel, because remember, I came to you and said, hey, listen, I'm a little bit conflicted here. Because my first inclination was, how dare we call on the National Guard before we call on God?
Absolutely.
I thought that's what the body of Christ, and I've been saying this for a while, and I still believe the only answers to the problems we're facing are in the kingdom of God. We need a spiritual awakening in the land and a revival in the church. And there's a spiritual wickedness that's hovering over this nation like a dark cloud. And so we really need to have a move of God's Spirit, an open heaven, so God can rain down healing on our lands. And I think that's what we really need to be trying to seek here in the body of Christ. The leaders who get over your own agendas, supplement your own programs, come together in humble repentance before the Lord, seeking the Lord's face. Because every time we talk about prayer, we use 2 Chronicles 7:14. But We never meet those conditions. We always say it. It's a great scripture, and it's the truth, because God keeps his promises. If he makes a covenant, if he says, if you do this, I'm going to do that, God is never a liar. So obviously the problem is we have not met those conditions.
Absolutely.
And I think repentance, it's listed first. Pastor, but I believe it's listed first because that's the hardest one to get over because of that pride, that humbling ourselves. Humble yourself and pray until we do that. The National Guard can come. We need them right now, but we need something greater on the other side of that.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. So President Trump, he ran on the platform that he was going to do something major about the cities. I've heard presidential candidates say that for years, and I've seen nothing happen in my city. But for him to say promise made, promise kept, we want to address the issues in the inner cities, to me is refreshing.
It really is. So I understand that he has a lot of things that people can take or leave with him when it comes down to his personality.
Right.
But the one thing you can say that he keeps his promises. Yeah. And I will say that I really appreciate, I know one of the things that the enemy always uses is to cast names that how many attack, you know, call you a racist and call you all these other things. I think he's exercised, shown a real sincere concern about the black community. And I think some of the things that we need to hear are not always the easiest things to hear. And it's easy for us to reject them if we simply say, well, you're a racist. And I thought about the scripture says people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But then he says, because you've rejected knowledge, you know, the knowledge is available. But if you're going to keep rejecting it, then he says, well, you'll no longer be my priest.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that, him keeping his promises. I think right now the onus is on us. Even here in Chicago, the onus is on us to recognize this is what the Lord is saying, and repentance has to happen.
I love my city, raising my family here, ministering here in the church. Been born and raised in this city. I love my city. It's a beautiful city, but it needs help right now.
Absolutely.
I welcome that help.
Well, thank God you're where you are over in the Woodlawn area. And while we have just a few moments left, is there anything particular that we could be praying with you about in your ministry there at Cornerstone Church and also your ministry there at Cornerstone Baptist Academy? You just had a major renovation project over there, correct?
Yes. Our building is a 100-year-old building. During the time of COVID, when we took our stand against Mayor Lori Lightfoot and our governor, the Lord opened up some doors. Some people heard about what happened to us and were very generous, and we were able to renovate a good portion of that 100-year-old building. So we give God the glory for that. We're praying for the right type of student. We're not just praying for students. We don't advertise per se. We want a serious student, a family that wants to see their child become a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. We want to train champions.
Yes.
And so rather than just say we want some more students, we want the right type of student. And so as you pray for us, as you think of us, pray that the Lord will send us some families that want champions for children.
Absolutely. And I really do appreciate your commitment to not only reaching the child, but reaching the parents as well. I appreciate the requirement. Hey, come to church because what you teach the children there in school and as they grow, you want that to continue on in the house. And so is there any way that people can contact you if somebody listening wants to support you in any way?
Well, they could go very easily to our website, cornerstonebaptistchicago.com. And there's ways to contribute there. There is a wonderful professional video that was produced for us to highlight our ministry. I'd encourage anyone to take a look at that and get a glimpse of what we're doing and keep us in your prayers.
Pastor Courtney Lewis, I appreciate you so much. God bless you. Keep up the good work that you're doing there. And if there's anything Illinois Family Institute can do to assist you, Good Soul, Good Seed, Christian Education Fund, we'll be more than happy to be there for you. God bless you, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. This has been Cecil LaFleur, and we look forward to being with you again. God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.